Salt and light. Salt, that just common substance that can make something taste so much better. Isn't it amazing how just a little bit of salt can just make something hit your tongue and you go, man, that just is good. It's better and light. Something that allows us to see more clearly. That just a little bit of light can help us find our way or find something that's lost. And these are two things that Jesus says that we are. That we as his disciples, his followers, are salt that brings savor to the world, and we are light that brings guidance to the world. Last week we talked about Easter, and the common saying is, he's risen. And the response to that is, he's risen indeed. But then the question is, now what? He's risen. Now what? We talked about the story of Mary going to the tomb and he's not there. Now what? She thought it was over. She was distraught and thinking they've stole his body. Now what? But then she's told, why are you looking for the living among the dead? Isn't it interesting how we can look for something and be looking in the wrong places? And it's all because of our mindset. She thought she would find Jesus in a tomb. He's supposedly dead. Well, if she would have just trusted what he had told her and the rest of them, I'm not going to be dead for a while. You don't have to worry about it. And then he showed himself to them and proved to them. Even Thomas was going, when he heard the story that Jesus was alive, I will not believe it unless I can put my finger in the holes of his wrist or in his side. And Jesus appears to them. He says, Thomas. And Thomas no longer doubted. He trusted. And could you imagine the transformation that happened within this group of people who were locked behind doors because they were afraid of what was going to happen to them based on all of the people who thought Jesus was a false Messiah and these are his followers, that they could be next, when now their fear turns to faith because of what Jesus has done, fulfilling what he has promised. So he's risen. And he's risen indeed. But we have to ask, what's the rest of the story? The rest of the story is, because of this, there is a savor to life. There is a hope in life. And there is a light that will guide us on what we often think of as a dark path. And we're in a dark time. It's an unusual time. And we have seen this image a lot in the news. We know what it is, and we know what it can do to us. If it enters us, potentially it will kill us. But what we want is this. This is an antibody. If you get the virus, your body, not because you tell it to, but your body automatically says, hey, this is a threat. This threat has to be taken out. In your body, without you even telling it to, has these antibodies go and try to take care of the threat. You're just a host of all this. You're just in an environment for disease or an environment for healing. And I really like the imagery of this antibody, don't you? Because you look at the coronavirus and it's just a blob. It's a hole, right? It's just looks like a globe. And isn't it interesting that Jesus says that our world's sick? That Jesus says because of sin, all of the globe, all of the world, all of us somehow, some way have been infected by this disease that will kill us spiritually. But look at the antibody. Looks like a cross, doesn't it? Looks like someone with his hands outstretched, doesn't it? That this thing is what will save us from what this disease could potentially do to us. Jesus wants us to realize he has come to give us hope. He is the antibody to our disease. And Easter proclaims the reality that all of humanity is infected. And at one level, we totally understand this. At one level, we groan. We look at our world and we groan, and it's dark and it's tasteless at times. But what we do is sometimes we try to anesthetize ourselves from that reality, and we go, I got to go find joy. I got to go find something to kind of push back the darkness. We create false light, false hope, thinking that if I just somehow can get it out of my mind, I can at least live well until I think about it again and groan again. The problem with it is we're looking for earthly solutions to an eternal problem. Jesus says that's pretty normal because that's all you know, but I'm here to tell you that there is an eternal solution not only to your earthly struggle, but to your eternal problem. And people have been looking for this answer for centuries. As soon as sin enters the world and we suffer the consequence, we suffer the symptom of the disease, all of a sudden we go, oh man, we're sick, and I don't want to be sick. I have to find something that's going to turn this around. Unfortunately, we keep looking in all the wrong places. But there came a time when people who were thousands of miles away, some reason, they spotted a light that wasn't necessarily supposed to be there, and they thought, something's happening in this world. There's a light that is shining in the darkness, and we want to go find out what this is about. And they pack up and they travel west, all the way to Jerusalem to find a couple in a manger where animals live, and a baby in a manger in their stable. And this light has drawn them to this child. This light that comes from heaven into our darkness to give us hope. They sought him out, but we also realize that Herod sought him out too. We realize just because this light is there, not everybody's going to like it. Not everybody's going to appreciate it. And Herod tried to turn the light out. But God says the world needs this light. We need this hope. And that's what Jesus gives us. And when we have this, we have something that the world needs to see. One of the problems is when Jesus started to present himself to the people, they're thinking, wow, did you guys hear he healed somebody? And people who were either sick or knew someone who was, someone's healing someone? Yeah, Jesus of Nazareth. Of course, people are going to start bringing their sick to Jesus, wanting him to heal them because this is my disease that I want to be healed from. And he healed many people. And when he was preaching and people were hungry, he fed many people. We remember at the beginning of the Gospel of John, we see Andrew, who is told by John the Baptist, see that guy? He's the one. Andrew starts to follow. When he's convinced, he goes to his brother Peter. We found the Messiah. Philip, when he finds Jesus, he goes to Nathanael. We found the one that Moses has written about. Could you imagine the excitement that they had? Here is the answer. Just like what if all of a sudden we realize there is an inoculation that can keep you from getting sick by the virus. You can get this shot, and it'll start creating antibodies within yourself that you'll be able to resist this disease. We would celebrate, wouldn't we? We would tell our family, wouldn't we? We'd tell our friends, wouldn't we? Because we realize this is hope. This is life. Unfortunately, these people, they wanted an earthly king, a king of their own imagination. They didn't want the heavenly Lord. And when Jesus says, I'm not going to do the things that you want me to, I'm going to stop healing people, I'm going to tell you a message that you need to hear, that I am the source of what you need. This bread that I give you, this bread of life, is me. And some people didn't want to hear it. But Jesus kept letting people realize by his actions that he is Lord. He healed people of demon possession. He healed people of bleeding diseases that the doctors just made worse. He rose people from the dead. Jairus looked him out because his daughter was dying. When everybody was mourning her death, Jesus says, she's sleeping, because he knew he had something that she needed. Jesus has everything we needed. They were seeking food that only satisfied for a while. And he says, stop looking for the things that will spoil. Look for those things that endure. I'm the spiritual bread, that he says, and I will sustain your spiritual life. I'm the real deal. Don't accept imitations. Do you realize, I was reading something the other day, that Google has stopped over 1 million hoaxes and false claims that people are trying to say of a cure for COVID or something to keep it away. And do you realize that some people are doing something that is causing their death? In hopes to keep the virus away, they're ingesting things that are actually killing. That's how fearful we can become, looking for an answer under every rock rather than going to the rock of ages. That foundation that we can build a life upon that leads into eternal life. We're told by Jesus, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. And if our heart is only in this world, we're going to look for earthly resolutions to spiritual pains. He says you can't serve two gods. You can't serve both God and money. You can't be satisfied by earthly answers to spiritual problems. They're investing in earthly things, not eternal things. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus tells us, watch out for the ones who will deceive you. Many will come in my name, and they'll deceive you. Don't trust false messiahs. Paul, when he was preaching and trying to let people know that he has the answer to what ails them, there were other people who were mimicking him, and he says, you realize that these are false apostles. Be on the lookout. They're deceitful workers. They want to tell you they have the answer, but they really don't. It's a hoax. Don't trust it. And why wouldn't they be out there? He says, no wonder Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. Isn't it surprising then that these servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness? Their end will be what their actions deserve. So they're proclaiming that they have the antibody, but they have the virus. And if we're drawn to what they're saying or what they're selling, we're just going to get infected by what they have. We have to be wise in all these ways. They're false apostles, he says. But Jesus came as the cure. We're told in Peter that Christ suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, the antibody for the diseased, to bring you to God, to bring you healing. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. And that's what he offers us as well, life by his spirit. Even the psalmists were foreseeing all these things. They were praising God because he had the answer, that he was going to forgive our sins. He was going to heal that which diseased us. He was going to redeem us from the pit. He's going to clothe us with love and compassion. And we have to remember that that is the God that we have. But we have to remember that the disease is not like the cure. The disease is easy to get. You just, whoever you're around, if they're sick, you're going to get sick. If you get too close, the same way with the antibody. C.S. Lewis talks about how Jesus is the good infection to a diseased world. And he also says, is you get it by proximity. So the closer you are to the antibody, the closer you stay towards the antibody, the more it will live in you. But more we're in the world and focusing on worldly things, the disease will take over. And it's easy to be infected. It's difficult to be cured. Look what Jesus had to go through for our cure. Look at what people are having to go through as this virus often takes control. We want to be one of the blessed ones who, well, if I get it, I hope I just get a slight cure. But you don't know. But it's still disease. But Jesus has come to heal us from that. And Jesus bore our disease on the cross. It cost God everything. But he says it's going to cost us everything too. Do you realize that when Jesus was carrying his cross, he didn't carry it alone? Oftentimes we think, Jesus bore the cross all by himself. He didn't. Isn't it interesting that not even the Son of God could get his cross from where it was laid on his shoulder to Gethsemane? Or Golgotha, I'm sorry. Gethsemane is the garden where he prayed. To Golgotha. He had to have help to get it there. The Son of Man needed help from a human to get it there. We need help from one another to bear the burdens of what this world is placing on our backs. We can't do it alone. We want to do it alone because if I can do it alone, then I don't need other people. That pride that we talked about last week is an infection. He says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. What life are you trying to save? Is it the old life? Is it the diseased life? Is it the life that we try to mask and, oh, I got to do these things and I'll feel better about my life? I'll be able to endure this life. I can just have these things. Is it an earthly remedy to a spiritual problem? We have to lose that life. It's sitting within the disease world. But whoever loses their life will save it. Jesus came to focus us on what true living is all about. Paul says that if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But by the Spirit, you put to death the misdeeds of the body, and you will live. You will realize that certain things are making you sick. Certain things aren't giving you the answer. And you have to try to kill those things off. And the cure is difficult. Because it's easy to continue to do things that create the disease. And what are those things? What are those evidences that you're sick? You know, sometimes think, oh, I got a fever, got a cough, can't breathe really well. But what are the side effects that this virus is taking hold in your life? What are the side effects that the disease of the world, this sin, is taking hold in your life? And Paul lays it out. He says, since we've been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above, not on earthly things. Well, what are those earthly things? It says you died and your life now is hidden in Christ. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, you will also appear with him. What are those things? So I can know. I want to appear with Christ. He says, put to death whatever belongs to that sinful nature, that sinful desire, sexual sin, doing things that are immoral, letting sinful thoughts control you, and wanting things that are wrong. Don't keep wanting more and more of those things for yourself. It's only worshiping a false god. He says, but put these things out of your life. Do you see yourself increasingly with anger, losing your temper, doing or saying things that you shouldn't, saying shameful things? Don't be like that. Because you've taken off the old clothes. You've taken off the clothes of the world, the things that show disease. That's the person you once were. But now you've put on a new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge and the image of the Creator. And this is interesting because we have to understand that this is a process. We want it to just happen right now, but to kill off the disease takes time. We have to trust that even though we feel these things sometimes flaring up in us, that if we are clothed with Christ, if we are saved by His blood, we know that we're on the right path because the light is shown in our life. So what are the side effects that we have the antibody? It's something that the Spirit does. It's not something we do. We're a host. We allow it to happen in us and through us. What are those things? Are you increasing in your love for others? Is your joy increasing? Your peace increasing? Your patience increasing? Are you kinder? Are you in better relationships with people? Are you more faithful to God? Are you gentler? Are you more in self-control? These are the side effects of having the antibody. We have to ask the question, what's in my life? What am I hosting in my life? The things of death or the things of life? And as children of God, we're told that we are an aroma. That just as Christ was an aroma, that the people were drawn to Him because the things that He was showing, this light and this savor in His life, I want a part of that. But just like many were drawn to Him, many were repulsed too. And He says the same thing for us. That as the aroma of Christ, people are either going to be drawn to us because they see hope in us, because they see the side effects of the antibody in us, or I don't want what you've got because I don't want to pay the cost for the cure. I don't want to lose my life because I don't think by losing my life I will have life. But what Jesus says, if you lose the life that's infected by the disease, it is only then that you will have true life that God intended from the beginning. So what's our response to all this? Be people who bring out the good flavors of life for others because of the side effects of the healing that Christ is doing in you. Be people who increasingly illuminate a way for others to see their way home to God, their way home to hope. We have that within us. We should share it. Just as if we realize someone tells us, hey, there's a cure for the disease. We let people know and let them decide for themselves. Will they follow it? Will they trust it? Be an antibody. Be infectious in the lives of others so that they too have the hope. And in your life, first and foremost, lift Him up so that others can see that He is the way. Let's sing.